Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Sometimes, some of our listeners listen to other podcasts, Anthony. Not just Drinking Bros, not just things on our network. One show that people love in particular is called Order of Man with Ryan Mickler, who is here today. Ryan, how are you?
What's up, guys? It's good to see you. Thanks for having me on the podcast today.
It's good to be seen, Ryan. It's good to be seen. Look, we're big fans of your show. You talk about masculinity, regaining your manhood a lot on your show. And that's also a big theme on our show as well. What made you start this show in particular?
Selfish reasons. That's it, man. Like I wanted to improve myself. I wanted to get better. I wanted to be a more effective father and husband. I had a failing financial planning practice at the time. I wanted to grow that thing, and I wanted to have conversations with good men. And I thought there's no reason these guys would want to have a conversation with me unless I put together a podcast and made these conversations available. So I initially started it for selfish reasons, one-to-one calls with some great guys. And it took off from there, man, which is a testament to the fact that men want this information just like you're talking about. We want to learn how to step up. So it's been a good place to grow for myself, but also to help other men do the same.
Yeah. And what I love about podcasting in particular is every day I wake up, I get to talk to interesting people from all walks of life that I would never normally get to talk to in my daily life.
Right.
I love it. Look, I'm on every day sometimes. Two and three times a day, just because I enjoy it. And I feel like if nothing, I've left with some tidbit of information or something I've learned from somebody else that I can use in my daily life, hopefully. Now, we've had some porn stars on the show, and I haven't really learned a lot from them, but I gained.
I mean, look,
there's
lessons everywhere, right? You just got to look for it, be open-minded to it, and you'll find it.
You know what my biggest lesson is about porn stars? They don't really look like they do in the videos in real life. I haven't met one that looks like the video that I
have. You ever met an
to.
Instagram model in real life?
Yes.
There you go.
There was one that I was like, oh yeah.
And
yep. One, only one.
The internet is a hell of a drug.
Yeah. And
it is, man. You got all the, like, think about all these filters and everything. I mean, look at your studio, look at my studio. Like, is this what it looks like in real life? It probably looks a little different. You know, we've got the one little place that's staged or whatever else, and everything else is a mess and chaotic and just doesn't quite look the same.
Yeah, so, right off screen,
I mean,
there's a bunch of people. Right off screen, there's a bunch of people crying and shitting their pants right now.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's
yeah,
mostly
yeah.
to keep us motivated.
Right.
I don't want to be somebody who's crying and shitting my pants all the time, and I keep one around all the time.
Sure.
It's like
sure.
putting a head on a spike.
I don't want to be that guy right there.
Yeah definitely don't like want to be that guy right there. Yeah, no, it's true. We have a decent set here that's pretty nice, but you're right. There's shit all over. There's like barbecue sauce and. Just a bunch of dude shit where you're like, all right, cool, man. Maybe I'll do something with that in the future and we'll see what happens. Who's the best guest you've ever had on?
Oh, it's a tough question. I've had the interview I did with Goggins years ago was amazing. I got to sit down with him in Vegas face to face, and that was awesome.
Oh, did you sit down with him, or did you guys run parallel with somebody filming?
Yeah.
Dude, it was funny. No, he had just got back from a workout, so he had all his workout garb, and he was sweaty and everything else, and so he sat down, and we did an interview, and after we were done, he's like, hey man, I don't want to rush, but are we all done here? I'm about to go work out. And I'm like, didn't you just work out? He's like, well, yeah, I mean, that was like my third workout of the day. I'm on my fourth or whatever at that point.
The easy question that comes to mind for me right there is, what are you running from?
Yeah. Yeah. What are you running from? What kind of secrets do you have?
There's no reason to be running like that ever. I've been.
Here's what I've heard a friend of mine say is we're all either running towards something or away from something. And as long as you harness it for productivity, then all the more power to you. So,
that sounds.
David Goggins has some demons, man.
Yeah, he must. Right.
Like, no doubt. He talked about them.
Yeah. He was a fat JTAC for a while. Right.
Yeah.
And then he got himself in shape and became a SEAL.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting success story. And a lot of people that have those same, it's demons is kind of a negative way to characterize it. Jordan Peterson talks about this shit all the time. Like the suffering that is intrinsic to life has to be met with some kind of genuine purpose. Otherwise, you will lose your fucking mind, right? Like, there's got to be some purpose to all this, some kind of cosmic drama that plays out over time. Whatever it happens to be, some people choose religion. Some people dedicate themselves to their family or a cause. Some people dedicate themselves to bettering themselves or whatever it is, right? But if there's not some purpose to get out of bed every morning, you're probably going to wake up pissed the fuck off every day, right?
Yeah.
Life is fucking brutal. Especially when you start getting older and everything hurts. You're like, God damn it, dude.
No doubt.
I don't know what the purpose is of, like, suffering and all that other shit through things where... There's a lot of things you go through where you're like, this is the dumbest shit in the world. Why the fuck is
this
happening?
Well, that's why I tune
right
out. But it's, you know, that's all. It's and Goggins will tell you this too. It's all very individual. And Jocko will say the same. As intense as those two dudes are, they know that their brand isn't for everybody, right?
Right.
So there's lessons maybe to be learned for everybody, but that style of motivation is certainly not. If somebody is gravelly voiced and low volume and fucking low light talking to me about something, I'm like, all right, man, what is this?
Yeah,
this isn't helping me at all. You know what I mean? Just give me the facts on a piece of paper.
Do it the same way, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you don't need to do it the same way. That's the problem with the self-help space. Like, even with Jocko, and I've talked with him, you know, I think 3 or 4 times on our podcast. He's become a friend over the past several years. But, you know, he'll post those pictures of him waking up at 4:30. And that's what he does. I don't think he's saying wake up at 4:30. I think he's saying get your ass out of bed and do what you need to get done. But so many people interpret what everybody else is doing as, like, that's the right thing. I need to run like Goggins. I need to wake up at the same time Jocko does. I need to do these things these people are doing. And I tried to do that, and it sucked.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't enjoyable. And like you said, there wasn't any way for me to attach any significance to running my ass off. So I decided, well, I'm not going to run. You know, I'm going to do some strength training, and I'm going to participate in jiu-jitsu. And so I'm still getting after it, but not in the same exact way those people are.
Right. Or read. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to approach that. And to be honest, we have these ideas, like particularly people that have been in the military, there was that whole ethos for years. Like, we do more before 9 a.m. than the average person does all day. Like, why?
Right.
Yeah.
Why is there fucking, there's plenty of daylight left. What the fuck else are we supposed to do now? You know what I mean? It's fucking stupid. They were doing it for its own sake. But if you look at the science behind how human bodies work, you have to match your fucking most energetic time of day based on your circadian rhythm. Like Richard Ryan, one of the owners of Black Rifle, and he owns Full Mag as well. He wakes up at like 2 o'clock, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. He'll fucking do a little workout and then work from 4 to 7 or so and then go take a nap.
Sure.
Wake back up and then go back to work around noon or 2 or something like that or whatever it is, right? He knows when his most efficient time of day to get work done is, and that's why he's really, really good at what he does. He's got millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars in cryptocurrency now because he studied that market. But it's the study of the market and the moves he's made is a reflection of being very aware of himself and then honest with himself as well about who he is, when it's best for him to start doing stuff. That is something that is entirely lost in the self-help space. And it's not necessarily because of the people doing the writing. It's because most people doing the reading are looking for shortcuts instead of methodologies. A methodology is not a shortcut. It's a path. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not meant to be a shortcut.
I think what people are looking for is the formula. So, and I know this because I'll put out a post or a podcast and I'll say, you know, here's one I just did recently. 5 lessons I learned at 40 because I just turned 40. And that podcast will do significantly better than any of these others because it's 5, right? Mm. It's a formula. It's like, oh man, well, I guess if I do these 5 things, then my life is going to turn around and be miraculous like this guy's is.
Yeah.
That's what people are looking for, you know, the formula. Or they'll ask me, Ryan, what's the one thing that you did to be successful?
Yeah, that's...
Dude, if it was one thing, I would have been successful long ago.
Yeah, of course.
It ain't one thing. It's a combination of things in the right order, in the right place, switching them, priorities change, and you gotta ebb and flow with it.
Yeah, and it's a good reflection of how our society has become and also the education system. We self-help tends to teach people what to think instead of how to think. But the lesson should be how to think. If you're watching somebody go through their... If you're watching a guy like Goggins, who wanted to serve his country, wasn't very good at it at first, per his own words, and then had a little dose of reality and fucking got himself to where he needed to be, that journey isn't about running. It's not about being a distance runner or running every day. It's about how to identify problems, right, that are stopping you from getting to the goals you want to achieve. That's really what it's about. And most folks just don't seem capable of getting down to that level. You know what I mean? They take the scum off the top, but they're not looking at the fucking, the real meat and potatoes of what the guy's talking about. And Jocko's the same way. It's the same thing with the Admiral with his wake up and make your bed fucking story shit. It has nothing to do with making your fucking bed.
It's not about the bed.
Yeah, it's not about the bed. It's about having a goal, challenging yourself to do it every single day, right? But the, what's the implied task there? The implied task isn't to wake up and make your bed. It's to figure out what your goal is and then figure out the steps to get there and then do them every single fucking day. That's the implied task, right?
Yeah, I think social media has just conditioned us to believe that way. You get like 140 characters to make a point. And so you're like, do these five things. Or, you know, I'll post about a project my son and I, my oldest son and I are working on, which is our canoe right now. And everybody's like, well, you know, talking about building a canoe. I'm like, dude, this isn't about building a canoe. This is time to get together with my son and talk with him about real issues and have real conversations, figure out where his head's at, try to get him on a better path. But people take things so literally because, again, 140 characters, got to make the point. People don't want to think past that. Or they'll read one post that I make and they're like, well, you know, you're the greatest asshole to ever walk the planet because you said this one thing. I'm like, dude, I've also made 7,000 other comments and I've done thousands of hours of podcasts. If you care to listen to that at all, you might see that there maybe is some nuance to what I'm saying here.
Right. Well, that's in philosophy. That's called the principle of charity, right? So this second century Jewish rabbi who was a historian and a philosopher, Rabbi Meir, talked about the principle of charity. And basically what it is you take the words of somebody and their best possible meaning, not their worst. Now, we tend to take things and their worst possible meaning right now. So if somebody said something like, well, I don't really like David Goggins' methodology. Like, oh, well, you fucking hate David Goggins. Do you hate the military? Do you hate black people? Do you hate running? Right. What do you hate? Like, I don't hate any of that. I just don't, that particular style is not for me. That's clearly what I meant, right? And you should assume the best of what people are saying at first. Now, if you pay enough attention, right, people who are actual assholes will expose themselves 100% of the time. Like, they can't help them but expose themselves. It happens every time. Why go looking for that?
Right.
It doesn't make any fucking sense. And it's been, this is 2,000-year-old ideology. So it's not like, this principle wouldn't exist if people weren't already doing that 2,000 years ago. People are already looking at different types of belief systems or legal systems or philosophical systems and saying, well, you know what, this means this, so fucking blah, blah, blah. Like, no, that's not what it means. But and the principle of charity, taking things at face value like that is so important to the dialogue. If we can't assume that everybody involved in the conversation is trying to head towards some positive outcome, then it becomes tribal. We think that's the enemy now because they think differently. And the goal from what they're thinking is clearly something that is divergent for me and might be problematic for me down the road. That's not true. Most people are just trying to live their lives and be left alone for the most part, but be safe under, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, safety, shelter, food, et cetera. That's the typical goal of everybody, and to take care of their family so that Maslow's needs extend out to their family, then to their community, then to their country, et cetera, right? That is the supposition, and anyways.
Yeah, Ryan, what
look for trends too in people because, look, I mean, you guys record podcasts. You've got thousands of hours of content out there. You know, if it's, you said something stupid at some point, probably multiple times.
Oh, dude, I did the math. I actually did the math on this a couple months ago. If 1% of the shit I say is stupid, that's 7 minutes per week of stupid shit that's out in the ether that anybody can download and listen to.
Yeah. Exactly. Do you know what I've been thinking about the last 5 minutes, Ryan? What did you do with that fucking canoe? What did you do with it? I don't
Why
know.
Why are you focused on the canoe?
I gotta know the answer, brother. I don't know anybody. Like, I've yet to meet a family who had a canoe and then said, hey, man, we go canoeing all the time.
Ron Swanson?
This just happened to me. This house that we purchased, they left this fucking canoe and they left it there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I had to call the realtor and I said, hey, do you want to call these people and see if they want their canoe back? And I got a call back and he goes, no, they don't want their canoe. And then I go,
really?
And I go, all right, well, what do I do with it then? You know, because I'm not a big canoer. I've never canoed. Yeah. I've never canoodled anyone. And it's too big for the trash can. So you can't just leave a canoe out by the garbage can and somebody's going to come grab your canoe. They don't really do that.
Is it Is it a fiberglass canoe or is it a cedar strip canoe? Do you know?
It was one of the green ones. It was a green one.
Was it wood or composite? Yeah,
it was some sort of metal, like a metallic canoe.
Yeah.
It looked like maybe it was from a summer camp of some sort, but it was so long that I figured, all right, how do you even strap this to the roof of your car and where do you go with that canoe on board?
That's probably why they left it, right?
Yes, they didn't want to fucking
asking the same questions.
They didn't want to take the fucking canoe, and they didn't know what to do with the goddamn thing. So now I'm stuck with the canoe, and I don't know what to do with it. So I put it out by the trash can. The garbage men refused to take the canoe because they're like, hey, dude, that's going to fill up the whole fucking truck. We're not putting the canoe in there. So I had to figure out a way to put this on top of my car and then just drop it off down the street at the side of the highway, which I did, obviously, in the middle of the night so no one would see me. But... But now when I talk to somebody who is actually building a canoe, do you canoe?
No, I've never actually been canoeing before. Look, so here's the deal. I was at the lake last year with my family and we had, I think we rented a canoe. It was like a summer camp thing by the lake. And we're like, hey, let's get a canoe for the kids. So we rented a canoe. We had a good time. I'm like, man, this would be so much better in a canoe that we built. And so I jumped online. I did a bunch of research and found a place. And yeah, we decided to build one. So we're about 30 days out. So when you ask, what do you do with the canoe and how do you, I don't know.
TBD.
TBD.
We're going to take it. We got about 30 days left on this build, I think, if all goes well and according to plan. And then we'll get it to the lake and we'll have a good time.
Oh, so you are going to take it out to the lake and enjoy yourself.
Oh, yeah, man. We're going to use the hell out of this thing for sure.
Yeah. It's just hard to travel with, you know, it's hard to get a canoe around town.
Yeah,
really long.
We got a lake 2 minutes from the house, so fortunately we can just run it down there. We're good to go. Drop in the lake.
Nice. Where are you at? Where do you live at?
In Maine. I moved to Maine a couple of years ago from Southern Utah.
No shit. It's beautiful up there, man. Utah.
Unbelievable.
I hated Utah, man.
What part? Southern, northern, all of it?
So we would always have to fly into Salt Lake City doing stuff with Black Rifle Coffee. And then I did a couple films in Sundance and all that stuff.
Salt Lake City sucks, but Park City is dope.
It's great.
And then the south of the state is pretty cool, too, if you like hiking and mountains.
That's where we were.
And skydiving and shit like that.
Right. Yeah. And so I don't like any of that.
And then there's St. George or whatever down there, too, that's pretty nice.
Where we were.
Yeah,
St. George area.
Yeah, it was super cold. And then there was this thing called the Hanging Something that was like some type of smog over
inversion.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then
it's a big bowl, right?
Yeah.
It is the worst place on earth.
All that smog and everything in there.
I got sick every time I came back. And then when I was there and you're out at a restaurant, if you're boozing, it was like 3.8, which, you know, daddy couldn't get fucked up off of that. And then you have to drink the entire drink and
finish it.
It's 3.2
before they give it back to the waitress. And then they won't put another glass on your table for another drink. And I was like, where the fuck are we living here? And then I got a bunch of weird looks from people. They all seemed to know each other, but they weren't friends. They just kind of knew each other, and they knew that I wasn't from there. And then I realized the Mormon thing. I got told about the Mormon thing, and I didn't know what that was either.
You're not Mormon.
No.
That's the problem.
No.
It's very clicky.
It is. It's very clicky. And so, like, even my friends who had lived there, they didn't know their neighbors or anything else. And it was, they were the only non-Mormons in, like, the neighborhood. And
you can imagine how, I mean, you know some of us. You can imagine how it was with me and Jared Taylor and Matt Best and Evan Hafer.
I would say at Matt's house.
Rocco and Eli and all those assholes living in Salt Lake City and making a scene all the time because we can't help ourselves. Like, we can't stop making scenes. It's going to happen no matter where we are. That's why we moved to Texas, because the type of scene we make is conducive to this environment. Right?
Sure. And so I would stay at Matt's house because Jared's house was just a goddamn disaster.
Cottonwood Heights.
Still is now, right? Yeah. So I would stay at Matt's house. And even Matt, Matt is a friendly guy. Matt Best is what I'm talking about. Friendly guy, gets along with everybody. All of that. And I was like, man, I don't see any of your neighbors hanging out.
No.
And he goes, no, dude, they do not do that here. And I was like, wow, this is weird. So we just kind of went home every day, didn't really chat with anybody, and then had our 3.2 drinks and moved on with our lives. And I was like, when can I get out of here? So the fact that you're in Maine, which is beautiful and amazing, and the property value is cheaper there, so I'm sure you could get like a goddamn huge place up in Maine.
Yeah. The place that we have, we've got a big 5,000 square foot place. It was built in the early 1900s, like about 50 acres. We've got a 3,000 to 4,000 square foot barn that's connected to the house that, again, was built in 1912. This place is unbelievable. And where I was, I mean, you're not going to find a place like this, but it would probably cost you, where I was at, I mean, a couple of million, at least a couple of million where I was at.
Yeah. And I'm sure you can just walk out your back door and go punch a moose in the face if you want.
If I see one and I want to take on a moose, I could certainly do that. I don't know if I would take that upon myself.
No, definitely don't.
Yeah.
No.
Are they fierce? Is a moose fierce?
They're not nice.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're not nice.
Oh, yeah.
They're kind of dicks, too. Like, aside from just being mean, I wouldn't say they're particularly aggressive, but don't approach them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you don't want to cross paths with a moose.
Or a bison, by the way.
The bison I know, because I've seen the bison attacks, but I've never seen a moose attack, I just figured you could go up, give it a rap on the beak, and for the title.
Some of them are actually kind of docile. The ones up in Western Canada, not docile is not the right word, but they're just kind of like, they're dicks. Not aggressive, but they're dicks. In Western Canada in particular, they'll just stand in the middle of the fucking road.
Yeah.
And you can't move them. Like, you're trying to coax them out. Like, seriously, you can drive up to your car and, like, kind of lean on them with the car a little bit, and they'll just, like, lean and then come back when you stop and just stand there and look at you and then go back to fucking staring into the woods for no reason.
Right.
I can't tell if it's some kind of passive aggressive bullshit
or
what the fuck is going on, but it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Imagine punching that moose.
We're having a
problem
up here, actually, with the moose. We have these ticks that have started to evolve and be able to survive through the winters, and they are starting to decimate the moose population up here. They'll latch on to these calves and the cows and then live off of them all year and then kill them just by sucking out all their blood. It's pretty insane, man. This tick problem is a big deal up here.
Jesus Christ.
So
what are the name of those, Hot Bob? What's the name of the moose ticks?
Vampire ticks?
Vampire ticks?
I have no idea. I just made that up. But it sounds like a goddamn vampire, doesn't it?
Sort of.
Yeah, no, they're nasty.
Looks like it's called the winter tick.
The winter tick is what it's called.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that like the winter
soldier?
Yeah,
they evolve.
Jesus Christ, man. I've never even heard about shit like this. There's some things that I just don't want to know in this world either, too, where I'm just like, man, I didn't know. I didn't need to know that existed ever in my life. Now, that's something else I got to worry about. What if one of those little fuckers latches onto your kid? Does that mean, you know, a kid is smaller than a moose?
Ticks are nasty, man. They've got Lyme disease, and they're just nasty, nasty things. So yeah, I mean, during this spring and summer, we're doing tick checks and everything else. It's a problem. It's a problem. Shit. You need to be aware of it for sure.
Man, dude. I only think one place I lived, we had to look for ticks. And the fucking dog kept getting ticks all the time.
You
have a dog?
We've got two dogs. When we first moved here, one of them got a tick right on his head, and we didn't notice, and that tick became engorged. You know, it just fills up on blood, and it comes all nasty.
Same thing happened to me.
But the dogs take a pill. I think there was some sort of pill for humans, but they did away with that. I don't know what it was doing, but that's a bigger issue than COVID, I think. That's the issue we should be focusing on, is how we can get rid of this tick problem, this Lyme disease problem that people are dealing with.
Yeah. I mean, fuck, dude. If we're just giving out, doling out vaxes with no data, let's give out some of those tick tacks.
Might as well. Go back to the tick tacks. I like that.
Let's get some of those tick tacks in our body. And look, I'd rather pop one down. Yeah. Because when my dog had the exact same thing you were talking about.
Yeah.
And then another one, we had to burn it off the fucking ear of this goddamn thing. And like, dude, the dog hated me. And
well, one of the problems with removing ticks is you got to get the whole thing out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would get infected and shit in there. It's nasty.
Yeah, it is nasty. Yeah. We used to have a tick check as a child too. When we came back, I'm from Georgia, so.
Same thing.
Yeah,
same
you go issue. Out. You go out for PE and you come back, and there was one kid that had it, and you know, he was the outcast in fourth grade, and we were just like, oh shit, Steven had the tick. Who's gonna hang out with Steven at lunch today?
That's right.
That fucking weirdo. He's got ticks all over him. Where else do they go? those are main problems, though. You ever go up to Kennebunkport?
I've been a couple of times, and it's pretty amazing. My wife and I went on the ocean. This is probably 3 or 4 months ago. We're going to do some deep sea fishing out there, but the sea was too rough, so we couldn't. So the captain basically just drove us around the bay. He showed us Bush's place, and so we kind of pulled the boat up to there and everything. So yeah, it's a beautiful place. Kennebunkport is amazing.
Gorgeous, isn't it?
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, what's the weather like? How many months is it actually warm there out of the year? Would you say 3 or 4?
No, probably through, let's see, I would say May, it starts to warm up a little bit through, I would say June to like end of September, October, somewhere right in there. And then it's cold and miserable.
Yeah. Well, I know what you don't want to do right now up there. And that is venture over the border into communist Canada, where they now have people under lock and key in their own homes. Have you seen this bullshit?
I saw those videos. Is that real?
It's real. And you can't have people over, or they can stop you at any point. I mean, this is insane.
I've never seen anything like that.
And they're asking for home addresses. That was the video I saw last night. Was that real too?
Yeah. Yeah. They ask you for your home address, and the woman, when questioned about it, she's one of the leaders up there in Ontario, would question about it. She's like, well, what's the recourse if the person refuses to either stay home or give them their address? He goes, well, at that point, they're breaking the law. What law?
Right.
Did you guys vote on a law, or did you just say it was the law? Because people do that sometimes.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Canada, man.
Is it that bad up there? Is COVID that bad there still?
No, it's not.
Not in Maine. Nobody has it in Maine. I mean, we've only got 1.5 million people in the state, but I mean, I don't know what it's like in Canada, but it's certainly not bad here.
Yeah, we're in Texas, and we're going to that the Kentucky Derby in like 2 weeks. There's 30,000 live fans there. We got a gig at the Canelo fight the following week, and there's going to be 60,000 at that one.
Yeah.
What the fuck is Canada
and
doing?
And a baseball game the day before, where there'll probably be about 40,000 to 60,000 people there.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yes.
It's not. No, the answer is no. Now, Canada does take a lot of heat for its socialized health care, and they have good. They actually, the one thing they did do right up there was to control pharmaceutical prices. Mm-hmm. This is something that the U.S. government has never even attempted to do because they're getting way too much money from these assholes.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's one thing they did. But one of the big gripes about Canada's socialized medicine program is a lack of incentive for doctors and the long wait lines for any kind of medical treatment, right? Now, if you're a specialist, if you're getting fake tits and shit, that's pretty easy.
Sure.
But actual general medicine, it can be difficult to get in to get seen sometimes up there. And I would expect, even with limited COVID exposure up there, if you have an older population, then you're going to see hospitals overrun. Maybe that's what their whole thing is. But again, we saw this between California and Texas. California decided to shut everything down. And then as they gradually released people back into the wild, there were huge spikes, right?
Yeah.
So in Texas, people gradually got exposed and the hospitals never got overwhelmed, right? And in California, they locked everybody down and they all got exposed at the same time and then overwhelmed the hospitals. It is a self-fulfilling prophecy based in fucking stupidity, frankly. And if that's what Canada's doing up there, that's how it is. I mean, you can't fight a virus without exposing people any more than you can fight bad ideas by silencing people. Bad ideas get exposed with conversation and they get overrun by good ideas. Viruses we adapt to them by exposure.
Right.
Right. That's how that works.
Sure.
So you're just not, they are fucking failing their people up there. And not only that, with these authoritarian measures they're using, that is not good for the future either. Like, forget about COVID and what's happening now. That is setting the most dangerous precedent you could set, which is the government can fucking come into your home literally and arrest you for not doing what they told you to do. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, are Canadians going to become the new Mexicans where they just hop over the border? Is that what's going to happen here?
I could definitely see that.
I'll tell you what. So when I first moved here 2 years ago, I got an invite to go spend a couple of days with Border Patrol up here in Maine.
Uh-huh.
And it was a rad experience. And so they took me up there and they're like, hey, we're going to go to the border. We're going to show you the border. I'm like, cool. So we hop on the four wheelers. We ride up to the border and they stop. It kind of opens up a little bit. They stop. They're like, we're here. I'm like, what do you mean we're here? They're like, we're here. Here's the border. And I said, where's the border? And they're like, it's right. You're standing on it. You're actually standing in Canada right now.
Really?
And it's called the slash. There's anywhere from 20 to 50 yards, maybe a little bit wider in some places. That's just basically maintained. It's just cleared. The forest is cleared. And that slash represents the border. And every so often, it could be 20 yards. It could be 200 yards. You'll see a little cement marker that shows where the border is. And then there's checkpoints on highways scattered periodically. But if you look at the state of Maine, what's really interesting is you look at the entire state, which is a huge border, and then you look at all of the coastline of Maine because of all the little ports and everything else, and they are significantly undermanned. So what I anticipate and what Border Patrol is telling me is that we're gonna go down. Well, we were prior to Biden, and secure the Mexican border. Okay, well, what are the criminals gonna do who want to come into the country? Are they gonna go through the path of most resistance or least resistance?
Right.
So what they were seeing is a lot of people coming up into Canada and then working their way down through Canada into Maine. That's only going to work a certain part of the year, because if you go in the winter, you're dead. So that's a pretty good natural deterrent. But outside of that, there is so much border and coast to worry about and defend that it's nearly impossible for our border patrol agents up there.
Man.
Yeah, that is
You never think about it.
That border is huge. I mean, look.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You wouldn't.
And the jackal, they didn't come across the Mexican border. He fucking went across the what was it, Lake Michigan?
Yeah,
for a boat race or some shit.
Is that the 9/11 guy or
who? No, Richard Gere.
Richard Gere.
Richard
yeah.
Gere and Bruce
yeah.
Willis.
Oh.
It's not real.
Oh, it's a movie. I didn't know who you were talking. Because yeah, there was a guy that came down through the Canadian border into Maine. I think he actually went down into Boston.
Was it?
And
Richard
that's how
Gere?
He got in the United States during 9/11.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. We always think about we talk a lot about Richard Gere on this show.
We do. Yeah. Mostly gerbil related
who
stuff.
Doesn't?
But
we're gearheads. We're gearheads on this.
It's primarily gerbil related.
Yeah. Because we're also worried about the ticks on the gerbils, you know? It's not...
That's the real issue. It's not the gerbil. It's the tick on the gerbil.
Yeah. It's not just the sexual abuse of the gerbil itself. It's that tick on the gerbil, you know?
That's right.
When you came on today, was there any thought of you that thought you'd be talking about sexual ticks on gerbils? And
I come into these things with an open mind, but no. I had no idea we'd be going down this route. But I'm glad that we did.
I am too, because I feel that people aren't talking about it enough. You know, nobody talks about Richard Gere anymore. That just kind of flew under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, oh, yeah, that guy used to have gerbils. I didn't even know if that's a real story, by the way.
Probably not.
Yeah, but it sounds good, doesn't it?
It's one of those wives' tales. And to be honest, I mean, Richard Gere was slamming so much ass back then. I can see it. And not because I think he's a weirdo or anything, but Russell Brand ended up getting people running over his fucking dick with a wheelchair at some point. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he'd done so much weird shit that was like, all right, what's new? Got to do something.
Yeah, have you heard of wheelchair porn?
No, I have not heard of this.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
No.
It gets dark, man.
I'm out of the loop, I guess.
Yeah, you get hard, and then you have somebody run over your boner, your penis, in a wheelchair. And yeah, it's a dark cycle, but I understand it. This, so the most infamous case was Russell Brand, and that's the rumor that's why him and Katy Perry broke up, because he was just on a whole nother like sexual level of like crazy shit, like wheelchair porn.
You'd have to be to go that route. You'd have to be on a different level.
Well, that's right. The thing is, like when I heard the term first, and then second, who was attached to of Russell Brand, I was like, oh. Well, yeah, that makes sense, because I think, you know, in his book, he was saying that he would let people suck his dick for drugs and things like that, like dudes, like at bus stops and things like that. So, yeah, it makes sense if that's where you're going, because what happens is you just run out of shit to do. And then you're like, all right, well, what's left on this earth? How do I get off? And it's wheelchair porn. You know?
No, I don't. Hey, I guess I don't know how you make that connection, but somebody's made it. It sounds like there's always somebody out there. It's the weirdest shit. Whatever you think you're weird about or your quirk, there are people out there that are already into it, and there's millions of them. And you just got to find them.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, that's rule 34 of the internet, right? If you can imagine it, porn of it exists.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You just gotta, you know. Be diligent.
Completely.
Because you're
well,
you're,
that's actually part of the problem with the internet is that it used to be, you know, you'd always have the weird kid, right? Like the tick kid you were talking about earlier. That's
yeah.
the weirdo. That's the outcast,
Steven,
right? And
yeah.
there's always one. Every class has it. Every town has one. That's the crazy guy.
Yeah.
And then what happens in the internet is you realize that, or give these guys a platform where all these crazy ass people can get together and validate their ideas. And then it becomes loud and somewhat credible. Because they see that there's other people who are into this thing, and all of a sudden you have some of the weirdest shit out there as kind of a mainstream thought that just wouldn't have gained any traction any other way.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like with your fans, like I bet you somebody's asked you to do some weird shit online for them for a certain amount of money, because there's a lot of outdoor porn.
That's true. Yeah.
A lot of outdoor porn.
I don't know.
The one that, oh no, come
if
on.
If you were going to ask someone to do weird, some weird shit.
I'm hesitant to say.
Go ahead. We got
to. I'm just hesitant to say I don't know if I've received anything like that, because as soon as I say something like that, somebody will start making some requests. So
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'm a little hesitant to say that I have or have not got those kind of requests.
Don't blame you.
No, I don't blame you. Yeah, because like extreme sports, there was one that I caught where they were rock climbing, and then they were banging as they were rock climbing. They're pretty high up. And it neither of them looked like they were having a good time. It was more or less about the completion of it, because they were rock climbing, obviously, and it was just like, ah, shit. Somebody, you know, had coaxed them into that, and they wanted the $2,500 a piece. And, you know, you're in those carabiners and all that shit, and, dude, you kind of just want to finish the job and get the fuck out of there, but you also need the shots, you know? But I watched it. I wasn't into it. It was more or less like, holy shit, are these people going to die? Like, and that was what was in it for me, you know? And I think that's, there's probably an element of it to that. Like axe throwing or something. Like, I bet you there's some wild shit with like axe throwing that's getting around the dark web that we don't know about right now.
Yeah, I'm fine with it staying there. That's fine with me. Stay in that dark web, and I'll stay over here in the light web or whatever the alternative is, and I'm good with that.
Yeah, because once you stay in the light web, you know, and you go to the dark, you can't ever come back at that point.
You're not coming back. You are not coming back from that.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't explored like some wild shit. Like you've had a ton of guests on like that are super like, you know, dudes where it's like, hey, I'm surprised nothing like that has ever popped off, you know.
No, really hasn't, man. We've kept it above the line pretty well, so can't say that there is.
Yeah, this guy doesn't.
I'm kind of scared and intrigued at the same time now.
Now you're going to get out there and go do it. The problem is porn is now ruined. Porn has been censored now. So you can't show it.
There's a lot going on with Pornhub and things like that. Yep. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So most of the good shit has been censored, and then it's kind of bland now. So I haven't really perused in a very long time. I kind of feel like I've gotten to the end of the internet. But I'm a light web guy too. I'm not a dark web.
You know? Is light web the correct?
No, he made that up, and I like it, so I'm gonna adapt it.
I like that.
Yeah, use it.
Yeah, I'm a light web guy. There was somebody though who called in and was telling us to go to something dark. It was Giorgio. Yeah. Ask him what the name of that fucking thing was. That haunted my dreams the other day.
What are you asking?
What was that one site you told us to go to and you showed us online as we were on air?
Oh, Motherless.
Motherless.
Oh, I've mentioned that enough. Yeah,
Dan's the one who told me about that.
Yeah. So I ended up doing it, Giorgio. I went to Motherless.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
It was a bad time.
Yeah, it's not a good time.
You're on a list now.
Yeah, you're definitely going to jail.
Yeah, that was terrible. It's just the quality of it, like the people. It was like fucking meth heads and shit like that. Like,
yeah, it's very bizarre. Everything that happens in there is really bizarre.
Yeah, there was a one girl who was kind of painted like a clown, like Anna Nicole Smith, mm-hmm. right before she offed herself. Wow, or OD'd or whatever.
Yeah, whatever happened.
And then she was missing some teeth and shit. But and then there was other one they were just tying their shoes together. And then pushing him over on a couch inside a trailer.
Yeah, all that weird niche stuff, cake farting and all that stuff is over there. Why are we talking about this?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Sorry, man. It's 4:20. I got high right before we went on today, so I apologize. This is what's in the back of my mind today. Because I don't celebrate Hitler's birthday. That's why I get high. Damn.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not about Hitler, for sure.
No, not at all. Not at all.
You're not. You said
that,
you were.
Is that where 420? I don't know. Is that where 420 originated?
No, it was the origin for the weed thing is some surfer, I think, in Central Coast, California. But it is Hitler's birthday.
It's also apparently where the Grateful Dead, when they get off school at 4 o'clock,
yeah.
They would meet at 420.
Yeah, that was the rumor started by this famous surfer back in the 60s. Like the surfer started a rumor that the Grateful Dead used to do that. Who knows if any of that's real or not, but
sure.
It doesn't matter at this point.
Again,
right?
Like we said earlier, just an excuse, right? Just another excuse people are looking for. You don't need an excuse. Just go do it. If you want to do it, do it. You don't need an excuse.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, not at all. You ever get down on the Grateful Dead?
No, I'm not a music guy, actually. People ask me about music all the time. Like,
I'm not a music guy. I've never heard a human being say that.
I don't think I have either, man. What, you don't listen to music at all?
I'm not.
No shit.
I really don't. I don't listen to a lot of music. Nah. So it's that's a weird thing about me for sure. I know, because people are asking me about this and that. I'm like, I don't know.
Strange. I don't think I've ever heard that in my entire life. That you're not a music.
First time. You're not a music guy. Here.
So what do you do? What do you do when you're fucking building canoes and shit? Like, you don't listen to music or anything?
Not typically. Nah, just hanging out with my boy, or even if I'm working out, I'm listening to a podcast or a book on tape or whatever. And yeah, just don't listen to a lot of music. Whatever's playing is fine. I don't care.
No shit. So like if you and I were working out together, right? Let's say we're doing lats. I throw on Metallica. You fine with that?
Yeah, man.
Dave Matthews.
I don't know if I'd do lats to Dave Matthews, but yeah, sure. All you right. know, in the right context.
Katy Perry, Firework.
I couldn't even tell you.
It's a banger. I don't understand why.
I'm going to listen to it. Maybe because I haven't heard it. Maybe that'll turn me into a music guy. I don't know.
Maybe. Pop it on. What does that say behind you, by the way? I'm looking up at your screen there. What are the words on the wall right behind you?
This one here?
Yeah.
So this one says, when nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times without as much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two, and I know it was not that blow that did it, but all that had gone before.
No shit. And is that your inspiration to get going for the day?
That's part of it. I've got a lot of them. I've got a poem that my son wrote. I've got an excerpt from Man in the Arena. I've got a code of conduct over here. I don't think you can see it. Maybe you can in the corner.
Oh, right. Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Another code of conduct that my two oldest sons and I wrote. So I've got stuff everywhere to get me going.
So motivational, like, advice, that's your jam, right? So that gets you going. So mine's music. I understand that now. Okay. I used to have a roommate in college who used to tape shit to his mirror all the time, and it was like inspirational quotes every day.
Right. Look, I'm not above listening to some music to get me going. It's just something that's not too big of a concern for me.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you are. It sounds like you hate music and you're anti-music. And that's fine. Just go to...
I am.
We'll go to your Instagram. You, everybody put, you know who hashtag else? Anti-music.
You know who else was anti-music?
Anne Frank?
Well,
Hitler too, but yeah.
Hitler. But
yeah, obviously. So. Obviously.
Just not... I'm not making a connection. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And it's important. Today's
he was
his birthday.
That's not true. He was an artist.
Just putting
he's
it out there.
Not.
Today's his birthday for sure.
I will tell you, I picked up the guitar last year, the end of last year, and started playing. Uh-huh. And just wasn't my thing, man. I wanted to try it. Just wasn't my thing.
But did you know any songs? Because you don't listen to music?
No, I read the book or whatever, the note thing, and showed me the music, and I tried to play them. I'm like, yeah, I don't, this isn't for me.
That's great. I actually really enjoy it. I've never heard somebody say I don't like music.
I've never heard any human being say that before.
That's amazing, though. That's amazing. But you like inspirational quotes and everything. Who's your favorite dude from the past? Folks. Like, if you could bring somebody back to life to go out and fucking chop some shit up in the woods with, who would it be?
I would say the two guys would be maybe George Washington. Theodore Roosevelt is another big inspiration for me. So I'd say those two guys for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't share an apple with Washington, but you could chop wood and shit. He's got those wooden teeth, obviously.
Chop wood.
Yeah.
He's got the teeth, which I've seen, by the way, since we moved out here. I've seen those pair of dentures he's got.
No shit. Really, where are they? Are they on display?
Yeah, for sure.
Where at?
Yeah, they're on display. And, Mount Vernon. So they're there at his home, and they do not look comfortable. They're not like your modern dentures. They look miserable. You wouldn't want to wear those things.
It turns out that you wouldn't want to be alive and black back then either, because a lot of those teeth I'm not kidding, were forcefully pulled from the mouths of slaves.
That's
is probably that right? Great.
Yes, that is right. Yeah. That's true.
Well, and I think there's this really interesting thing. We have these fantasies of like what you know, the Wild West looked like, or early American history, and I'm like Rome or something like this. It's like we fantasize about it. We make it like it's really cool. Like I wouldn't want to live in those days, because it would be horrible, absolutely horrible. You know, a lot of people complain about it being bad now. It isn't bad now compared to what it was. That's for sure.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, and it's shit, man. I look back at it and I'm like, No, only one thing is appealing of like not having a phone or social media or anything. And, you know, that would be great where I, you know, I didn't have to look at a fucking text message to worry about if my kid was, you know, abducted from a fucking daycare or something like that. Right. Right. And that would be nice. Like, I would not like to have phones and all that other bullshit or computers, but the rest of it, no. I mean, people were dying from, like, that tick thing, forget it, dude. They didn't have any Tic Tacs back then.
No.
If you had a tick, survive. Yeah, you no were fucking dead. You were losing
your... No vaccines.
Nope, you're probably losing both your arms, same time. You know, just rotting right off your body.
Gone.
None of that stuff, like, seems appealing to me whatsoever. Even when I was a kid, and they take you to those old houses, you know, like the log cabins and shit like that. I'm from Georgia, and they would take you to the old Civil War, you know, houses things like that. I was like, they were like, oh, isn't this beautiful? And then the craftsmanship and all this shit. And I was like, no, it's fucking hot.
I mean, it is pretty amazing.
There's no AC up in this bitch.
It's pretty amazing what those folks were able to do with not a lot. And to be honest, the difference between being completely uncomfortable and then mildly uncomfortable is just a little bit of effort.
Yeah. Right?
So you map that onto today's world where you have, where there's so much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you think with just a little bit of effort, we can get there. The problem is that different amounts of effort are required depending on your station in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've through our own ignorance, and it's the same thing that's happening in Canada right now, but it's through our own ignorance. We've packed people that we feel like are disadvantaged into groups, into geographic locations, and then taken all their opportunity away from them. Whether it's fucking coal miners in West Virginia or fucking black people in South Central. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's food deserts.
Do you think we've taken those opportunities? Your phrasing is just interesting. I'm curious about that.
I think through our... It's a confluence of generational poverty, right?
And, yeah, agreed. Sure.
And I can't tell if the left is intentionally trying to lead these people along with the carrot of you know, free shit, or if they're actually just stupid and don't understand why that doesn't work. You know what I mean? But either way, the result is the same. Economic empowerment isn't giving people free shit. It's giving them the tools to make their own shit. I mean, we've had this phrase, teach a man to fish.
It's education.
For a bajillion years.
Right.
Like ever since human languages existed, the principle of let's teach people how to think and not what to think. And let's teach people how to fucking make their own shit and protect themselves and not fucking be a babysitter for them. That has been a consistent theme throughout human history. And every time we've backed out of that particular theme, it's led to communism or fascism or some kind of totalitarian bullshit, right? And we see it now. Like if you think about the principle of gentrification, if you're on the side of somebody that lives in that area and you're affluent, gentrification seems like a good idea. Like, hey, we now there's all these stores and all this and this and this. And in reality, and you're right to be happy about that. But the other side of that is that you've effectively displaced a lot of people economically who are already struggling economically. What did we do to help those fucking people? Why didn't we turn them into the owners of these new businesses we created? You know what I mean? So they can continue to exist on the land they exist on, and we can all benefit from a rising tide lifts all boats, right?
Yeah.
So instead of doing that,
I don't think it starts with, I mean, the thing you said right there is like, make these people the business owners. They don't have the ability to run a business, and that's not a personal indictment against their intelligence or their ability. It's just, they don't have the skill set. So I think you're right, but I think it starts with education. This is what we need to
right,
do.
Right, right, for sure. I agree with that. Individual. But education is it's a phrase that gets used a lot these days and has lost all meaning. Because if by education you mean universities, completely disagree. And we had a guy named James Altucher on recently, and you should definitely have him on if you haven't already.
He's coming on in next month, I think.
Perfect.
We've got him.
He's right awesome, now. Dude.
Yeah, it's one of the best interviews we've ever done.
Yeah.
And his new book, Skip the Line, talks about this all the time. Forget about all this formal, I mean, formal education can be useful in a lot of ways, but forget about all that shit. If you want to skip the line, you develop micro skills. So we need to teach people how to be entrepreneurs, right? We're in a creator economy now. We're not in legacy economies anymore where you have to go, like you have to go start as an apprentice and become a master somewhere. No, you could fucking get on the internet, find a gap in the market, figure out how to execute on that gap and make yourself a millionaire overnight. Not right. overnight, but like definitely. You can do all that shit yourself. You just have to have the ability and the power to do that, the ability and the will to do it. The problem is that like I said, what the point I was making before, these people in West Virginia see no version of upward mobility. And because they don't see that, and the same thing is in ghettos across the country, because they don't see this pathway to upward mobility, they don't feel any equity in the fucking American system of government at all. They think that they're anti-government.
Right.
Or they think they're anti, or America's anti them, because they don't feel included in the process. And that's a real thing, right? Like, if you go to a party and nobody's talking to you, you fucking leave.
Yeah.
And you go do something else. This is how it is. And we've not done, Republicans by and large have ignored this issue, and Democrats have made it far worse, right? Democrats have made it far worse by giving people handouts and then for some reason convincing them that they can't do it on their own, which is nonsense. Republicans have tried, particularly recently, Trump actually tried pretty hard to convince black people, like, hey, you can do this too. And he, I mean, they had the lowest unemployment rate of all in their entire history under Trump. So people are trying to solve some of these problems. The problem is we see it as an us versus them situation, and that's not what it is. It's all of us versus poverty, because poverty is the number one predictor of crime, and crime creates instability. Instability affects the economy at large, right? And it creates all this civil unrest and all this bullshit. It is incumbent upon us to look at each individual as that, as an individual, and say, hey, what do you need? And I'm not talking about babysitting, right? I'm talking about providing. It's no different than providing roads. We all use them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's make sure they're fucking good. We all use education, whatever happens to be. If it's a university, if it's a fucking trade school, if it's just online classes to teach somebody how to create their own business, whatever it is, right? That's what has to happen, because it's the same reason a lot of people are like extremely anti-tax. I'm not anti-tax. I'm anti-waste, right? I want to live in a country that takes care of its people, right? And it starts with all of us taking care of each other. Fuck this government bullshit, right? If we're not able to admit that there's an issue and start taking care of each other, we are all fucked, completely fucked.
Yeah, and with
yeah, I think that makes sense. And when you
go ahead,
keep going.
Go ahead.
There's a little bit of lag time. Yeah,
when you talked about education, yeah, there is. When you were talking about education, I agree with you. You know, like public education, universities. In fact, my kids over the past couple of years, we've done homeschooling for some of those reasons. So yeah, education certainly not exclusively through public schooling and universities. But even what we're doing now is a form of education. You know, you got books on your desk, we got podcasts available. Like, getting this information out. Here's part of the problem I see, though, is so many people use these opportunities to educate through books, podcasts, videos, et cetera, to rally people around and behind victimhood as opposed to uplifting and edifying people.
Yeah, of course.
Like, hey, like, we have this amazing opportunity to teach somebody something, and instead we're going to teach them why everybody's out to get them, why they're the victim, why they should be outraged and offended, and they're not learning anything other than just to be pissed about their current situation. It's not obviously conducive to their own growth and, like you said, upward mobility.
No, sitting around whining about the problem isn't going to fucking solve anything. I mean, that's just not how life works.
Definitely. And,
again, you have to have buy-in. When people in rural West Virginia see coal moving away and they're like, well, that's all I've ever done, I don't know what else to do, the vast majority of those people are going to feel completely left out of the American experience at that point, right? And 50 or 100 years or however long it is from now, they're going to behave towards government the same way that fucking black people in Southern California do right now, or in Chicago or anything like that. They're going to feel the same way. They're going to feel disenfranchised. I mean the people. I don't give two fucks about the government. The government is completely full of shit. And politicians are all cunts too. So we shouldn't expect anything from them. We have to bypass these assholes and make sure that these people are fucking communicating with us in a real way. The first step, in my opinion, is to get people to turn the fucking news off, because it's not news anymore. It's all propaganda. And you could see it just from CNN yesterday. So after Maxine Waters talked all her shit, right?
Right.
The first article on CNN that came out was from Chris Saliza, who's kind of a cunt himself, right?
Yeah.
Big one. His headline was, Maxine Waters just inflamed a very volatile situation. And he went on to explain how not only did she inflame this time, but she's done it in the past, right? Yeah. It's a pretty heady article. But then somewhere about, I don't know, 2/3 of the way down the page, he starts talking about, oh, but it's so, it like Trump supporters fucking saying this is a incitement. It's, they're really hypocritical. And then on the front page of CNN, right? It says Waters' comments on Chauvin trial expose Republican hypocrisy. So it's not about fucking calling somebody out for being wrong. It's about like, hey, she was wrong, but you guys are, you're the other side is right. Wrong also.
Gotcha moment. Right?
Yeah, it's about fucking dividing. And I'll say it for the thousandth goddamn time. If someone is trying to divide you, they are trying to conquer you. That is it. CNN's not just trying to sell ad space. They're trying to manipulate the fucking social fabric of America right now. And it's not just them. It's all media. Now, people are, they're seeing record low numbers. And sports organizations other than the UFC are seeing record low numbers because of this bullshit. People are tired of being lied to. People know that all this data about how police interact with black people, the actual data does not say what the fucking narrative in the news says. It's just not true, mm-hmm. right? And people who are reasonable the King of England said to John Adams one time, John Adams was very frank with him. This is right after the Revolutionary War. And I believe his quote was, an honest man will never have any other, right? Like if you're an honest man, you will not tolerate dishonesty. And people's minds rebel at that idea. And they think this is the major problem with the left right now in the media. They've associated this entire problem, which is a socioeconomic problem, with a racial theory that does not exist. And people look at the racial theory and like, well, that doesn't exist, so this whole problem doesn't exist. But that's not true. The problem does exist. It's just not because of why these assholes are saying. So the result is people fucking start fighting and nothing ever gets solved. Fuck that shit. The only color that matters in this country is green. I'll say it again. The only color that matters in this fucking country is green. We have to fucking jettison all this shit, wade through these waters, tell people to shut the fuck up, and let's actually solve the problem. It seems simple, right?
But it'll never happen.
Maybe not.
No, it's a fucking pipe dream.
It's interesting you're talking about this because, especially with this West Virginia, I mean, we actually experience a lot of that here up in Maine.
Yep.
Where I live, it's a fairly depressed area. And part of the reason is manufacturing jobs that were built on the rivers and around the water here have gone overseas. And so people are out of work. They have nothing to do. We've got shoe factories that shut down. We've got huge manufacturing facilities and warehouses that are gone. Like they're there, but they're empty. And right. People literally just closed the doors, locked the doors, all the equipment, everything is still inside. And you've got thousands and thousands of people out of work. But I'll tell you, I've got a friend up here. His name's Pete Roberts with Origin. He's a partner with Jocko. In fact, mm-hmm. since we were talking about Jocko earlier, and it's going to take guys like.
Yeah.
Got a little dead air there.
Yeah, frozen in time.
We're trying to solve problems, and the internet's telling us not to.
Or is the internet stopping us from solving problems? I think you need to ask yourself that. And I would end on this image, Georgia, if I were you. You know, cut to a single of it, and then just end on it, because that's what happens when you.
Did our internet really just go out?
When you make a point, and wow. then you want it all. Is it us though, or them?
It's us.
Is it really?
Yeah, the internet's not working.
No. How is that possible here?
I don't know, with Google fucking fiber.
We have fiber.
How is it? It's working. It's not working for me. It's
working on this computer. Yeah, it's working for me too.
Not for me.
Yeah. Maybe it's just you guys. Maybe it was you guys' conversation that just the government is now just shutting down individual people.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that Google's fucked with us. I mean, YouTube censors our shit all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just like the point that it froze at, Georgia. Big fan of that. If you're gonna lose a Zoom call, you want it like when it's like a powerful moment where you're just like this, not like a tubing moment where it's like my dick's out.
What's that called in the biz? A cliffhanger or
a tubing?
A tubing? Okay, yeah.
It's called a tubing now, but you know, it all depends on how you're frozen. Obviously, that happens. That's one of my favorite things in this life, by the way. I know
what the fuck is going on with this goddamn internet.
I know that I'm high, obviously, because it's 420, but one of my favorite things is when I pause the TV and whatever weird face it is, if I can catch somebody super hot with like a lazy eye or like a, you know, one of the, I usually take a photo of it. I never post it, but I guarantee you half the photos on my phone are just that, to be real with you. You know? And that happens. That happens. Either way, dude, that guy was interesting as shit.
Yeah, we could have gone a lot longer than that if we hadn't been sabotaged.
Sabotaged by the old Google machine.
By our own.
So, either way, we can get to the drinking bro of the week, D'Anthony, you know, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Again, if you go to drinkingbros.com, all you have to do is put a little submission form in, and it comes in live into the inbox as we're on air. And then we just read these live. Whatever happens, happens. Sometimes there's a lot. So it might get passed up, and feel free to go back. While you're there at drinkingbros.com, you can also get yourself some butter soft teas. And, you know, those are nice. What are they repping for these days? How much was yours? You got a new one on?
I don't know. Let me check.
$23.99?
I can't pull up the fucking internet, so who knows? T-shirts are $25.
Okay. Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Nope.
Not bad at all. We got the new ones.
And this is a newer color. So we had the lighter gray color in this Drinker Bros one.
Yeah.
The Pornhub shirt. Yeah. This is a little bit darker color. I actually think this one's a little better. Another thing we're going to be doing is bundling. So all the APAC stuff, you'll be able to buy in a kit.
That's cool.
And then all the defund politician stuff, you'll be able to buy in a kit, stuff like that.
Hell yeah. The Drinker Bro of the Week was submitted by Wyatt Perrin from Virginia, a member of Drinking Bros for 4 years, and he is nominating First Lieutenant Ben Stewart. He says, "Hey guys, I am nominating one of my best friends, First Lieutenant Ben Stewart of the Virginia Natty Guard." He put Natty in there, which I like, for DB of the Week. "I've known Ben for about 11 years, and he's always been a shining example of an American badass, a great leader, and he is an even better friend. He loves hunting, fishing, growing tobacco, drinking whiskey, pushing his body to the absolute limits by taking on any physical challenge just for the hell of it." Sounds like our fucking guest tonight. Unfortunately, over Easter weekend, he was on a road trip when he was in a devastating motorcycle accident. God damn it, man. I thought that was going all right.
And you
then,
never know.
And then, boom, it just took a hard turn there. "He miraculously survived." Shit! All right. God damn, man.
Toying with my emotions.
I am really going through it here today. But broke his back and sternum in the process. Jesus. And has a...
Christ, man.
Has been hopping...
Bottom line up front, asshole. Just... For real, you guys need to start...
Damn it, man.
Put whether or not the person's alive or not. For fuck's sake. And
shit, this is a whole gamut of emotions here on this one. He's been hospitalized ever since. I'm sorry for laughing at this. This is a windy road.
I'm sure if the dude's a fan of the show, he's not going to be a fan.
No, he'll understand the dark humor we have here. He has a very long road of therapy ahead of him, but thankfully doctors have given him a fighting chance to walk again. And that's all a guy like him needs. He is a fighter and he is stubborn as hell. So if anyone can pull through this experience, it's him. He does not listen to the show, but I wanted to give him a shout out and ask others to raise a glass for him and his speedy recovery.
Did it say where he is?
Virginia.
Mm.
Virginia. The whole story there, right? I thought was going super positive. I thought things were on the up and up.
Yeah, this guy should write for Black Mirror. What the fuck is wrong with you, dude? Why are you trying to make me feel feelings? I don't appreciate that.
And then the motorcycle accident, I was like, oh, shit, he's dead. And then, nope, but he's alive, broken back, sternum. He's got a long road to recovery. And then at the end of it, he doesn't listen to the show.
Mm.
But it'd be great if you could raise a glass for him. Well, how's he going to know that we're raising a glass for him?
Yeah.
You know?
Clip it.
If he doesn't.
And send it to him.
Listen to the show. You can submit all your Drinking Bro nominees to drinkingbros.com. Maybe just lead off with, this is going to be super dark.
Yeah, get like good news or bad news.
Because they really do come in live. Like they just get emailed to us directly on air and that's it. So like we just pop it open and whatever happens, happens there on this one. So I went through it with that whole story, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy. Crazy. Check out Ryan's show. It's great. You guys recommended him, and I know you guys listened to it. Man of Order is the show. It is Order of Man, wherever podcasts are available. And yeah, shit. Let's get fucking weird tonight, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 420. 420. For D'Anthony, D'Anthony Holloway, I am Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.